Welcome to the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society. Welcome to ITSP Magazine. You're listening to a new Candid CyberSec podcast with Vandana Verma. Get ready to be candid as Vandana takes us on a unique journey into the world of cybersecurity, a world with many facets that touch people, process, and technology. Knowledge is power, now more than ever.
Hi everyone, thanks for joining us today and welcome to yet another Candid CyberSec podcast. I'm your host Vandana Verma. I'm one of the Global Board of Directors at OWASP, which is Open Web Application Security Project and Security Architect for one of the largest companies in the world. Today we are going to talk about a very interesting topic and especially around the journalist and cybersecurity. We have heard about the techies, we have heard about this and that. But today we want to touch the very important aspect of covering the security cyber stories or cyber stories covered by the journalist, which are very, very important. So let's welcome our very amazing guest. She's none other than Kim Crowley. Kim, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much for having me, Ms. Verma.
Yeah. So, Kim, I've been hearing about you a lot and we've been chatting over Twitter, over emails, and it's been actually a couple of years we know each other. But I'm sure our guests would love to know more about you, like how you started your journey in writing, in journalism, and in cybersecurity.
Well, as I was mentioning, my father, he's not alive anymore. But he was a novelist, which is a very different sort of writing from the sort of writing that I do, obviously. But growing up with a father who was a novelist, it showed me that writing is something that you could do for a living. So he taught me very early on, like, how to write professionally. And although I don't write fiction, what he taught me was very useful. In the early 90s, like in the very early 90s, I think about 1992, 1993, because of his writing career, he had to replace his Smith Corona electronic typewriter. Do you remember those things? And he had to buy this was IBM as an OEM, by the way, so it was back when IBM still did that. Bought a 486, and it was a Windows 3.1 OEM, I believe. And that really got me into computing at an early age. I was very young. I think I was about 9 years old. But whenever my dad wasn't using the computer to work on a book, I would insist on using his computer. And I started to fix little issues that he would have, like printer port problems. And eventually Windows 3.1 took a long time to boot up. And without asking for permission, I opened AutoExecBAT in Notepad, and I removed a lot of lines from it.
Ah.
So you could do that in Windows 3.1. Can't do that in modern Windows, but yeah. And eventually, by the time I was in my 20s, I got into remote tech support. I wrote like a few CompTIA certs, like A+, Security Plus. And I found as a tech support agent, like a remote tech support agent, about half or more of my tickets were malware related. So I spent a lot of time removing malware from Windows computers. And that's what really made me catch the cybersecurity bug. Just if you have to remove malware from 10 or 20 Windows PCs every day, you either get interested in it or you go nuts.
That's true. Yeah, absolutely.
And I've always been interested in creative writing. So eventually the two interests merged. I love my career, and I'm very lucky to be able to write about cybersecurity for a living, because that's a dream job. Honestly, sometimes my work is very challenging, but it's a lot easier than being a tech support agent. Being a tech support agent is hard, and those people, they don't get enough respect. Same with like developers, programmers, network administrators. Those are way harder jobs. And frankly, just writing about that stuff, I have the easier job.
Yeah. I think if we love the job, and especially if that's of our interest, it becomes like our passion. And it interests us more. We tend to spend more time on it. We tend to invest. Now, I know that you've just written an amazing book that's called The Pentester's Blueprint. So we would like to really know more about it, especially from one of the writers. So why don't you share your experience in writing that book and what that book has and why it's so much of interest for people? I've been hearing amazing reviews from everyone. So...
Well, yes. Because you're doing the show for ITSP, you probably know Phil Wiley. And he is an absolutely great guy. And he has been spending a lot of time teaching people how to be penetration testers. He has his Pond School, and he frequently gives his pen tester blueprint talk at cybersecurity events. And Wiley, not to be confused with Phil Wiley, different spelling, gave him the opportunity to write a book about his Pentester Blueprint talks. And he wrote a lot of really good content in our book. He is the heart and soul of our Pentester Blueprint collaboration. But he has a lot of different professional activities in his life. He has his Pond School. He has Point 3 Security now. He has the ITSP podcast. So he asked me to co-write the book to finish it so that the book would indeed get finished. So I was super honored to have been asked. And I said yes right away. And I signed the contract. And this was April 2020, when I was asked to co-write the book. And Wiley, as in the publisher, said, okay, you have until November to finish this book. And they said that in the contract. And I said, forget about November. I can make sure that we finish by July. And I did. I finished by July. And that's why the book has been out for a few weeks now. Because... Right. I made sure to get that finished earlier rather than later. But, I mean, at least half of the content in the book was written by Phil. He gave me, like, a lot of great content to append and augment in my own ways. And he's the heart and soul of that book because it's based on his curriculum and his core concepts, the Pentester Blueprint, the hacker mindset. And as you know, he's got a lot of years of experience as a pen tester, as a red teamer. So without him, the book would not be possible. I think what I added to the book was I thought it was very important that pen testers be grounded in an understanding of cybersecurity rules in general. I think red teamers, although they will never do incident response work in their role, they should understand what incident response is. They should understand what defensive security people do. They should understand, you know, what people in security operations centers do and stuff like that. So I added that angle to the book. My expertise is very, very broad and relatively shallow. I think the phrase is, jack of all trades, master of none. So I understand quite a bit about cybersecurity as a whole, but I don't really specialize in any particular area. So the collaboration with Phil was wonderful because it features his expertise. And also I got to interview a lot of really good pen testers for insight into the book as well, including Chris Kubeka and a lot of other brilliant people. But I also have a kind of generalist perspective, like seeing cybersecurity as a big picture where everyone's role affects everyone else's role.
Absolutely. It's very, very important to have a holistic picture of everything. And especially if we talk about red teamers, this is something which is new, which has been given as a term, but it's been always there. And people flip different domains. And then if we talk about a pen testing role, people understand that, yes, incident response is this. And then you go ahead and start pen testing. And then there will be a team who will be monitoring. They might monitor. They might be able to detect or not. So all of this is like you need to understand the big picture, what's happening around. So absolutely, you nailed the point that, yes, this is important. We need to understand the pen tester blueprint, red teaming. But then you have to understand the other parts of it as well. What's the one thing that keeps you going in cybersecurity? And what touches your life every day?
I like solving problems. I think it's scary in some ways how computer technology is controlling more and more of our lives, especially when you look at the growth of like the Internet of Things, for instance. And I, like you and I both very strongly appreciate that now cybersecurity problems can kill people.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We've seen cases wherein the hospitals are getting breached and there are no operations that can be done or no medical history that can be accessed from the hospital and that can be as dangerous as you can think of.
I'm also concerned about fully automated cars. Mm-hmm. Or fully autonomous cars, I guess is the better phrase for it.
So, yeah, actually, this is really, really interesting. Now, if you would you like to share any parting words for the guests or who are listening to this podcast, so that like that can be really helpful for them, which is from your journey?
Yeah, I think that if you're in IT or you've never worked with computers, but you want a cybersecurity career, it is a good path to pursue. There are so many different roles in our industry. And I think for newcomers, sometimes it can be overwhelming, the number of different types of roles and specialties that there are in cybersecurity. So I really enjoyed working on that book with Phil Wiley. And Phil and I, we've talked about writing more books about pen testing specifically. But I'm ready to write books on my own as well. And I've already been talking to publishers about writing books on to help newcomers choose which area of cybersecurity they want to specialize in. And also what certifications they may consider pursuing. Because I think at this point now, if you combine the vendor certifications with the vendor neutral mm-hmm. certifications, there are probably hundreds that are just under the cybersecurity banner. And I think newcomers can get really overwhelmed by that. And sometimes there are even like job descriptions that ask for certifications that aren't even relevant, like Security Operations Center must have a CEH, like a certified ethical hacker. Or an entry-level role must have a CISSP.
Yeah.
I think the HR, the human resources, the hiring people are more confused about what certifications are relevant than newcomers to our industry looking for work are. Alyssa Miller talks about that a lot, about unrealistic job descriptions. But I think it looks like now this year I'll probably be working on a book that will help people who are total newcomers to our industry choose a career path. I think that's a need book-wise in our industry, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. You've said the right thing, especially for anyone who's actually just stepping their feet in cybersecurity or even thinking of it. They get this first thing that, do I need to have any certification? And that scares the most. I've seen people doing that. So probably I think that's going to really help people. And anyone who's listening to the podcast, make sure you reach out to Kim, and she is the right person to guide you on how you can actually kickstart your journey with certifications and what all things are relevant based on the profiles. So thank you so much, Kim, for joining us today. It was wonderful having you on the show, and especially speaking with you, I wouldn't say that in person, but it's sort of an in-person for us now.
You are one of the nicest people in our industry, and I'm so happy that you have a podcast with ITSP now. Our industry, we need your perspective. So really, I'm really appreciative that you had me on the show. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Candid CyberSec Podcast with Vandana Verma. If you learned something new and this podcast made you think, then share ITSPmagazine.com with your friends, family, and colleagues. If you represent a company and wish to associate your brand with our conversations, sponsor one or more of our podcast channels. We hope you will come back for more stories and follow us on our journey. You can always find us at the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society.